Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is really tough. Like I said, we're not going to sit here and have a pity party. We're going to move on. We have to move on. We're not going to sit here and go into a shell and say, oh, the season's over, because it's not. It's far from over. We have a lot of games left. We have a lot of opportunities to win a lot of hockey games. We got to be really good on the road for the next little bit here. And whenever we do come back at home, we got to be a lot better.
Part of the soup with the Sabres, all the different theories about motivation and commitment and everything, is that the energy in the building is just so negative, and that is not the fans' fault. But you and I were in there for the Detroit game, and the booing would just be like, who is motivated by that? You know, like,
yeah.
It's how it goes. It's how it goes. Fans boo at sporting events when this is happening. But, man, my reaction would be, oh, yeah?
Right.
Really? I mean, it would just be the absolute worst thing to get me to get going.
You think this is bad?
Right.
Wait till you see me in the third period.
Right. I just would hate it so much.
I'd be chain-smoking unfiltered Marlboros during the second intermission. Wait till you see me in the third.
I'd immediately be like, go Red Wings. Here's Jeff on WGR. Hi, Jeff. Jeff?
Real quick, if I could start from the top real quick. To Pegula's, I just don't think he knows what to spend his money on. And when you say, well, he's not out front, isn't that sort of a good thing? Because most of the time you get those meddling owners, and that doesn't make for a good potion. As far as Adams goes, unfortunately, the Sabres got to do it. They got to cut ties with the guy. If you look at the roster he's built, and I understand young players and in the chain and coming up through the, you know, the system and so on and so forth, but if you look at hockey teams, successful hockey teams, you got that gritty veteran winger. You got a couple of real defensemen who aren't offensive. How many offensive defensemen can we have? It's just a point of, I think, the chemistry in the team as far as, like you say, being sentimental, and they fall in love with these players, give them big contracts, and then, you know what, like you said, I got paid, and, well, you know, I can't be a superstar by myself and win it all the time in Cage Thompson's, you know, or Paterka. But at the same time, they are getting paid, and they have to produce. I just think when you look at from the top down, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way Pegula does it. Hey, I'm paying you. You make the decisions, and that's the way it goes. Adams, I just think that this whole Sabres, he was in the organization, he was in the chain, and so on. Last time we had anybody outside the organization is like a president of hockey operations, does it all, hires a general manager, hires a coach, so on and so forth. I think Pat LaFontaine, again, Sabres crony, had that job for like 2-3 days, and that's the last time we had a president of hockey operations.
And what even was his credibility, or what were his credentials? He was a great player who the fans loved. He had no... I made the point recently, thanks, Jeff, how, like, who's the last Sabres GM to get another job at that level? And it's like Muckler, right? If he even did, with Ottawa, I guess he did. Mm-hmm. Who was the last Sabres GM to have been a GM beforehand? You have to go before him, I think. Scotty? Have the Sabres ever had a general manager who'd previously been an NHL general manager?
Punch.
Has the show... Punch?
Kids, let me tell you a story about Punch Imlach and his hats.
Is that seriously right, maybe?
It might be. I'd have to, you know, dig through like each guy and like what. But
coach or GM,
it could be right.
Coach or GM, rarely have the Sabres made a hire that would have that sort of automatic credibility as somebody who is a proven success in the league, even if it's just once. It's just rare. Lindy Ruff, due respect, it came with an asterisk because that even he was. He's ours again. He's back. You know, that was the how it was sold. He's mm-hmm. back. And there were every year there always are in hockey these veteran coaches or even GMs who bounce around and they get fired because other teams make moves and they're just sitting there. And the Sabres, either for a lack of trying or at least success, have never been able or willing to bring this type of candidate in.
I mean, I think Jeff is correct to say, you know, pay your people and stay out of it. But are you paying top dollar for the best people? And do you have enough of them? Is there enough support around Adams, a brand new GM, who basically, I think, got the job out of convenience because he was here and Pegula wanted to fire a bunch of people. And I don't know, I think it's right to say Bottrell didn't want to, and that's why he got fired. Like, we're in a pandemic. I don't want to fire a bunch of people and take their health insurance away. And like, well, that's okay. You don't work here anymore. Let me hire someone who will do that for me. And then a bunch of people got fired and Kevin Adams had the job. And here we are. So, sure, the methodology is not necessarily flawed, that Pegula is not walking around the dressing room asking how sharp guys' skates are or anything. Good. But you got to give out more. I think their commitment, I mean, they must be, I can't even fathom. It's been years because, you know, Pegulas are so wealthy. You know, the Bills just print money and, you know, so they're established in the region because of the Bills, even though they own the Sabres first. You just don't have, I just don't think we really think about what the books must look like there. I mean, the NHL teams depend on, like, if he's treating the Sabres as like, this is over here and the losses must be staggering. Teams in that league used to lose $15, $20 million a year when their buildings looked like the Sabres building looks regularly. Ticket sales is still, even though the TV stuff is better because ESPN is back and whatever, there's still not enough. You need gate. And this team, when's the last time this team regularly had a gate? Like, it was like this before the pandemic, right? I'm trying to remember, right? It was. So we're working on five seasons of, you know, 13,000 is a good night. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's really tough. So I guess on one hand, I understand his reluctance because it must feel like a sinkhole at this point. But once you stop pouring everything you can into it because of that, I think we're circling back to my whole speech about it starts at the top. Like, what kind of commitment is there, and how cognizant and aware of that are the players?
I think they, of course, are cognizant of it. They've known it forever. Anybody in the league would know it. They might not everywhere know the stats, you know, the payroll rankings, things like that with the Sabres, but these guys all would. And that only reflects one thing. We don't spend as much as the other teams, and that's always been true of the Sabres, but this was the owner who said it would be different. And it's many years ago now, but it is so not different. Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Back-to-back Jeffs.
I think all the points made are very relevant and to the point. A couple of things. First of all, pile on Adams. Yeah, I mean, look what his last job was. He was running Harbor Center, basically scheduling ice time. And we bring him in as a general manager, which to me was a head scratcher from day one. Secondarily, I think Lindy made a tactical error in retaining that entire coaching staff. They're still playing a lot of Granato-type hockey. I mean, you watch the power play. It's they're always trying to carry the puck over the blue line. It's, instead of getting in tough, dumping the puck in, and trying to come up and make a play. And it's reflected in their forechecking style. It reminds me of Granato hockey. And we're to the point where change has to be made, and players have to move. And the last point I quickly want to make, and I've thought about this for quite a few weeks, and Paul Hamilton brought it up on one of the pregames a show or two ago. Cousins, he's not been the same guy, man, since Garnett Hathaway cleaned his clock. And when was that? October, November?
That was October of last season. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's lost his swagger. He's lost something. He's a young kid. He got rattled, and he got clocked.
Yeah.
And he's not the same guy. And at this point in his career, I think he should just, and coaching should just look at playing him on the wing. He does not have the genes to play center anymore. It's not in him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. I this came up. I think I mentioned this to my son watching the Red Wings game with you in the suite. You're like, did Garnett Hathaway like steal Dylan Cousins' soul? Did he take his superpower away or something? I mean, it fits a narrative because Cousins, it was early enough last year that we didn't know or suspect that he was going to fall off a cliff, and then he fell off a cliff. He might have been destined to fall off the cliff anyway. I don't know. But, you know, different people, you'd have to really know him, and he'd have to really want to tell you if he even knows. But there's a connection that you can easily make there. I made it, I'm admitting, on Monday night with my son. So I don't know how sticky that really is, if at all. But it's... You know, it's a thing to say at a cocktail party. Like, I think that guy kicked his ass and he's not been the same. Yeah, maybe. I just the coaching staff part. I don't know definitively how that all went down. But given their history, given how they've handled money, if the assistant coaches we're all under contract for another season and do that money, I don't think it's out of line at all to suspect that ownership went, okay, if you want to fire Granato, you can fire Granato. Well, I'll eat that. I'm not eating three assistant coach salaries or however many there were.
I would assume that that's what happened.
So, you know, I don't know how much of a choice Lindy had in it. It might have been like, we'd like you to come do this, but we kind of need you to do it with these guys. And, you know,
we don't even need you to build a staff, Lindy.
Right. It's all here.
It's all set up.
And, you know, if indeed that's what happened, that's, I don't know, maybe a new low.
It's minor league.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't have, we don't know that you're saying it too. I don't know either that's what happened. It's just what I would assume. It's the Sabres.
But again, a player on the team was there all through Granato's tenure. Granato's getting fired, ringing a new Lindy Ruff accountability. But, you know, here's all the same guys running the power play. Like, you're a player on the team. Like, you work in the NHL. You have your peers all work in the NHL as players. And they've seen coaching staffs get fired. And they've all given the speech about how we feel terrible because it's our fault and all that stuff. But when does it happen that the head coach gets canned and the assistants of terrible units all get to stay? Or most of them get to stay? I mean, the only elevation there was Appert, and he was already in the organization too. And I got nothing against him, but
what does he? Right. What does he fix?
The whole thing just smacks of we get Lindy Ruff at the front of this, we'll be fine because fans will smile about it. Because Lindy, you know what did I say when he got hired? It's like the last thing I want is for this to stain him. Like we remember Lindy fondly. He got fired. It was coming. It was warranted when it finally happened. He had an incredible run here. And we very fondly recall him as a player and a coach of those great teams. This stink is starting to get on him now. Because he's here. He was, you know, he keeps saying, it's my job to fix it. I got to make sure, you know, this doesn't snowball. That was like three losses in a row ago. Four. I mean, we're up to eight.
Eight.
With Washington and Toronto, two of the two top teams in the East. I gotta look at the stand. I think Washington might be first in the East, and Toronto is maybe third. fourth, whatever.
Close enough.
Terrible. Wow. Good luck.
Hey, for those of you who are just sort of worried, boy, this is really depressing stuff. Mike's Fresh Picks in an hour.
Thank God.
It's still an hour, but
never been more ready for some fresh picks.
We're going to turn some things around here. Fantasy playoffs. Tonight, Rams, Niners. The Rams, maybe not so fresh off their win over the Bills Thursday night on the road. Fun matchup. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski coming up in less than 20 minutes. Sal will join us later as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.